Well, it's good to be back here with you after a wonderful trip to Thailand. And it's thanks mainly to Tony, who was encouraging me to go out there. And so I went out there for 2 weeks, from the 12th to the 26th of October. I wasn't too sure before I left whether the trip would be on, because the king had been seriously ill and he was close to death. And he, in fact, died while I was there the first couple of days. So there was evidence of mourning in the country, and we were advised to wear a dark shirt. I had a couple of darker shirts, but not all my shirts were darker, and that was okay. They weren't insistent on it. But the king was very much loved by the people of Thailand and very much appreciated by the Christians. He was somebody who favored the Christians. And so they're a bit concerned in maybe a year's time, when the son comes to take over, what will happen. So it was a wonderful 2 weeks. I didn't see all the beaches that were there. In fact, I didn't see a lot of the country. I was there up in the northwest, close to the border with Thailand, a little town called Mai Sereng, where the center is, where the students come to learn the Bible, and where there is also an orphanage. And if you want to know a bit more about it, Tony has some October newsletter from Jeffrey and Pat Atkinson, who have been the directors of the mission. So see them. And I also got this card from them that Tony brought. I can't work out what it says on the outside. Thailand is the second most dangerous country to drive, apparently. And I saw that clearly in driving from Chiang Mai, 4-hour drive to this town where we were. Part of it was very windy. And as you're driving along, suddenly you'll have a car coming towards you on the wrong side of the road. And you have to make sure you get off the road. So they don't seem to have any sense of just being careful. And then when I got back to Chiang Mai, a city of 2 million, to see the motorbikes going around, I wouldn't like to drive there before I got used to it. We need to pray for people who work in countries like that, that God will protect them. But it is a beautiful country. And so I want to just begin by... I was teaching on the Psalms, and Psalm 19 talks about creation preaching to us about God. And God's world is a wonderful world. We know all about the troubles that there are, but we need to keep in mind God's word is wonderful. And so it was a wonderful experience for me to go to another part of God's world. I've never been there. I've never been to Asia, and to see something of the beauty of the country and the beauty of the people in that place. So just run through some of these slides. It's just lovely traveling along, and you see these beautiful shrubs and trees, and that's the border with Burma. I wish I'd been able to capture something of the beauty of the mountains and the hills in that part. Very forested, lots of different animals in there, but God's world is wonderful. And then the next one, and that includes people. These are the students who were there, who enjoyed playing football in the afternoon. The morning, 8 to 12, I was teaching, and then after lunch, they had music and learning English and various other subjects. And then there was football before they had their evening meal. I didn't join in with that. My football days are over. And one of the students got kicked, and he was hobbling around for a couple of days. So I didn't join in with that. And then the last, 5 days when I finished, there was a coach who came to coach them. He was an Australian man who teaches in a school nearby. And so he came to spend 5 days coaching them. And apparently they had done very well in a competition. So he was helping them get them up to standard. God has created a beautiful world, and the greatest of his creations is human beings. So the next slide. I couldn't resist taking this slide. This was up in the village near the Burma border. We went there on the Sunday before I left and visited this church, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. But this little girl was just running around. I don't know whether she was a relative of the pastor or just somebody who came to the church. But I think she typifies both the smiling of Thai people, the vigor that is there among Thai people, and just the wonderful way in which God has made human beings. We are created in God's image. And so we need to see creation as telling us something about God. And so I want us to look, to think of creation. You can think of creation as being like a painting on a wall. So you go to the painting and you admire the painting. But rather we should see creation as being like a window. So we look through creation and we see what God is like. We see that God is a God of power and wisdom and beauty. And so as we've been looking at the autumn colors, yes, we admire them, but we should look through them and see God is an artist. Or maybe we look at the Alps and we see something of the majestic mountains, and we should look through them and see God is a God of power. God is a God who is eternal. And so creation tells us something about God. But also we should see creation as a preacher. And so I'd like us to look at Psalm 19, which is one of the psalms that we looked at together. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. So here, creation is like a preacher to us. It preaches without words. It preaches constantly, day and night, it's preaching to us. It preaches to everybody in the world. And the sun preaches to us about a God who is powerful and who gives light and life. So all the time, creation is preaching to us about God. And Paul reminds us in Romans that the problem is people refuse to accept what creation is telling them. They make their own gods. Instead of looking to God, they make their own gods. So one of the things that struck me in Thailand, going to this new place, seeing all the beauty that is there around, is God is a great God. This is his world. He has made a beautiful world. Okay, we'll pick up a bit more later on in the service. One of the things I was given at the end of my time was this shirt here, which I will now put on. They tried to find a shirt that would fit me, because Thai people are a little bit smaller than me, and I think eventually they found something which fitted reasonably. One of the students also gave me a shirt, but it was far, far too small. so I'm not sure what to do with it. When I was there, I was doing some teaching on the Psalms, and I'm so glad that you introduced the service with just looking at the Psalms. And the Psalms are very often, they're sort of asking us to wake up and just praise God or just turn to Him. The Psalms are absolutely wonderful. So I was teaching on the Psalms, and when you go through the Psalms, there are five books of the 150 Psalms. They're divided into five books. And I was just looking at the first four books. So I introduced it, and then we looked at 11 of those Psalms. Obviously, I couldn't cover all of those Psalms in the first four books. This is Christos Mission Foundation, where I was. It's a wonderful story how it came into their hands. This man had decided to build a hotel there, and he, for whatever reason, ran out of money, and they were looking for a place to have as a center. And they came across this place, and initially they were going to rent it. And then they got to talking with the owner and said, well, we can offer you 4 million baht, which I think is about £100,000, something like that. And he initially wanted 5 million, and eventually he said, yes, okay, you can have it for 4 million. So they bought it, and they've done a lot of work on it. And it is a wonderful center for this. It's like an education center, helping to just teach people the Bible. A four-year course. Some of them become pastors in the church later, some evangelists. Some go back to their farms and just help in the church. And then there is also an orphanage where the orphans are sponsored by people from overseas. So just some of the students who were there. There's girls, ladies, and young men. Next one. And next one. They were mostly attentive, I think. A few occasionally you'd see that they'd hadn't slept very well, so they're eyes were drooping a bit, but they seemed mostly very appreciative. And it was a real privilege to be able to just help them understand a little bit of the Psalms. Well, I was teaching on the Psalms, and the Psalms tell us, they are really God's word to us, so that God tells us about Himself in the Psalms, and God tells us how we should live, but also the Psalms are our words to God. And so they, we pray to God, and we can use the Psalms in praying to God. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. I'd like us just to have a look at Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Psalm 1 is an introduction to the whole book of Psalms, and it's really telling us that the person who wants to know God needs to delight in his word. If you want to know God, make sure you read His Word, meditate on it, and delight in it, because it's all about God. And so the Psalms is really trying to help us to live out a life of faith coming to God. Psalm 19 goes on to tell us more about how we can know God. We looked at the first six verses, and we saw that creation is preaching to us about God. But it's the Bible, it's God's Word, that is the full revelation of God. And so Psalm 19
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them is great reward. So when you look at those few verses, Psalm 19, 7 to 11, you see that there are six nouns, what God's word is. And so God's word is laws, commands, decrees, fear, statutes, precepts, which tell us that they are authoritative. They come from the king. These are his laws which he has given. So we need to take note of them. We need to obey them. They are eternal because they are statutes. They apply for all time and for everywhere. And they are precepts. In fact, they tell us the best way to live. They are wise and they are loving. So there are six nouns as you go through that, telling us about what God's word is. And just yesterday I was reading from Psalm 119, and verse 45 says, I will walk around in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. So sometimes we think of God's laws as somehow being restrictive. No. They give freedom. When you obey them, you live really a free life. Then you have some description of the uniqueness of the Bible, so that it describes the Bible as there's six adjectives. It's perfect, it's trustworthy, it's right, it's radiant, it's pure, it's firm. In fact, there is no other book in the world which is like the Bible. And there is no book in the world which shows us all of human life, like the Psalms. All of human life is portrayed in the Psalms. All our emotions are there in the Psalms. And there's no other book in the world which so beautifully portrays human life in relation to God. And then there are six verbs, what it does. As we read it, as we meditate on it, it refreshes, it makes wise, it gives joy, it gives light and understanding. It gives endurance. It shows how we can be right with God. So trying to portray something of that to the students, and they want to be people who understand the Bible. And so they have these 4 years to just go through the Bible so that they can understand. And then lastly, I want to just look at God's gospel is amazing. His world is wonderful. His word is unique. And his gospel is amazing. Just look at Psalm 96, verse 1 to 3. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. It's interesting when you put together Psalm 95, which is all about worshiping God, and Psalm 96, which is about declaring his glory. Worship and mission go together. The more we praise God, the more we want to share about how good he is. And so you have in the Karen people, there's about 5 million Karen people in Burma, in Thailand, and have gone to other nations as well. And a good percentage of them are Christian. They were among the first Christians in Burma when the first missionaries went there. And so there is a church that has grown up among the Karen people, and these students were some of them. But they faced persecution. Next slide. This is the church we went to on the Sunday. It was about an hour and a half trek winding up through the mountains up to the border with Burma. And it's a new building. They've paid it mostly themselves. And they have supporting a pastor and another person, as well as 11 evangelists that are sent out into the villages around there. Next one. The person on the right is the pastor of the church, and the one on the left is the manager of the center where I was based for my 2 weeks. Also from Burma, but had come to Thailand some time ago. This pastor lost his wife some months ago. He has a daughter who is just finishing in school, and her desire is to become a missionary. Just finishing school, and she wants to go to Bible college and then become a missionary to go and share God's word. So God's word is spreading among the Karen people, and God is raising up those who can be missionaries to go out with the gospel. Next one. Yeah, thank you. There you can see Pat and Jeffrey at the front with some of the students from the center. We went up to this church. Next one. The Monday evening, there was a special celebration for Jeffrey. It was his birthday that day, and he was 79. And his wife, Pat, had her birthday in September. She was 78. And they feel it's time now that he would step down as being director of the mission, and a younger person would come. But they have moved now from this center to the city, the second city in Thailand, Chiang Mai, a city of 2 million, and they want to be active in sharing the gospel. 79, 78, but still wanting to be actively sharing the gospel, maybe among Muslims. They're not sure exactly what to do. Quite a few Karen people come into Chiang Mai, and they want to help them settle into life in Chiang Mai. They had asked me to speak at the birthday celebration. There were others who gave tributes, and there was many, many gifts given, and then they asked me to speak. And I chose some verses from Psalm 92. Maybe we can just look at them. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Even in old age, you can still flourish. You can still stay fresh and green, and that desire to serve God. And that's what they demonstrate. Now, Psalm 92 is a psalm for the Sabbath. And earlier in the psalm, it talks about being reminded of God's love in the morning and God's faithfulness at night. And Jeffrey and Pat, through their years, they've had over 50 years serving God in Asia. They've been trusting God's love and his faithfulness. And so in their old age, they're still fresh. I noticed that his memory was going a bit. So there were some things he was forgetting, short-term memory. But still that desire, still that fire within them burning. And so the pastor's daughter, she's young. She wants to share the gospel. Here, Jeffrey and Pat, in their old age, they want to share the gospel. And it's being taken up with God's love and God's faithfulness that produces that freshness, that desire. And so I want to thank you as a church for giving me a sabbatical. The Sabbath really is just stopping what you're doing, taking time to just be refreshed, focusing again on God, taking time to reflect. And so this has given me an opportunity to go to Thailand. We had a holiday together, do some preparation for the Psalms, and do other study and thinking, and to be refreshed. And that's the purpose of the Sabbath, is just to be refreshed in God's love and His faithfulness. And so my last slide, I think, sums up the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I think that's what the Psalms are all about, is that if God is our shepherd, we can come to Him with whatever we have, all our emotions. He is the one that we need. And I think that's come home to me more and more, just looking at the Psalms. He is what we need, our shepherd. So thank you for your prayers. And if you have questions later, please feel free. But it was a wonderful trip, so thank you. Can I just say, I'd like to recommend a couple of books. One is by Tim Keller on the Psalms. It's a year of devotions going through the Psalms. Wonderful, wonderful. And then Derek Kidner, two volumes on the Psalms, is just excellent. So if you want to do more thinking about the Psalms, I would recommend those. And if anyone wants any notes, these are the notes I did. I'm very willing to send them to you.